You've already found the most accurate fantasy football rankings in the industry. So why do fantasy football tiers matter? Well, Matt Schauff here with Alex Korf and Jared Smola of DraftSharks.com to dig into just that question. And the answer, because the difference between back-to-back players in your rankings is not always the same. Sometimes one guy is clearly better than the next one, and other times they're basically the same dude, and it can affect how you draft. Really, you might even find areas where the gap between two consecutive players is wider than the gap between that second guy and the next nine behind him. That would indicate a tier break, and that's why we incorporate tiers into the rankings in your draft war room on Draft Sharks. We'll get more into what that means for your drafting in a few minutes, but for now, Jared, let's get specific on those tier breaks, because that's what people want to know about. Let's start at quarterback. Looking at the top of the QB rankings, do you see a significant tier break up there?
Yeah, we do. I guess I should start by saying, you know, this answer is always going to be different depending on your league format, right? That's why it's important to have tiers customized to your exact league scoring rules, which, again, you can find on your draft war room. In standard four-point passing touchdown leagues, we have Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen as kind of a tier of their own, you know, those top two. And it's really, those are the two guys that can dominate both passing and rushing, right? I mean, you have guys like Patrick Mahomes that can put up big passing numbers. Lamar Jackson can do it with his legs. Generally doesn't put up big passing numbers, but Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts can, you know, score in both those ways in dominant fashion. And when they put them together, that's when you get those big, you know, 30, 35 point fantasy outings. That's why those two guys are kind of in a tier of their own.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see, of course, if Josh Allen remains in that tier without Stephon Diggs, but so far certainly belongs up there. Tight ends are up next. And for a while, it's been Travis Kelce and then everyone else at this position. Alex, does that change at all coming off a somewhat down year for Kelce? Would have been an amazing year for pretty much anybody else, but for Travis Kelce, it was a bit of a down year.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of a down year last year when he was going, what, fifth overall? I mean, that's not what you want. But this year, we still are projecting him as the tight end one. And there is a pretty healthy margin between him and then the next guy, which happens to be Mark Andrews. So right now, we are absolutely classifying him as a tier one tight end and a tier of his own. But Andrews and Laporta coming in tight in tier two, and they are very, very close. But then when you start looking at tier three, that's basically the next nine tight ends where they're almost interchangeable. And we strongly recommend just draft the one that goes the latest because there's effectively no difference in them because their projections are basically the same.
I think it's worth remembering Travis Kelce dealt with a couple of pretty significant injuries last year. There was the knee early on, and then he hurt an ankle in the first half of the season. I think maybe the two biggest changes for him last year were, one, he started dating the biggest pop star in the world, and two, everybody realized that his older brother is actually the more lovable one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Travis Kelce scored his fewest PPR points per game since 2016, but still led the position. And if you look at our rankings and projections, the gap is not as big as it has been in years past, right? But Kelce had enough cushion there where he can decline a bit, which I think he is at this point. He's, you know, 34, 35 years old, but still be the tight end one, which is what we have him as.
Let's go half PPR at running back to split the difference between primary formats, you know, half PPR, full PPR, non-PPR, all in play. Christian McCaffrey, pretty clearly in a tier by himself after last year, and it's tough to argue that after San Francisco gave him more work than we've ever seen from Kyle Shanahan running backs before. Jared, our numbers, though, say that there's another tier break not far behind CMC, right?
Yeah, Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson. I mean, we're talking about a pair of super talented three-down backs in their prime, both coming off impressive 2023 seasons. Breece Hall just averaged 17 PPR points per game, coming off a torn ACL in a putrid Jets offense. Hopefully they get a healthy Aaron Rodgers this year. Bijan Robinson, 14.8 PPR points per game last year as a rookie with questionable usage under Arthur Smith. And of course, Bijan Robinson has a new play caller this year, which will hopefully, you know, increase his usage there. So those guys are a tier of their own behind McCaffrey. I think they're there, though, because they both have the potential, if things break right, to unseat McCaffrey for that RB1 spot.
They're both good examples of why you have to think differently for different players. If most guys enter the league the way Bijan Robinson did last year, you would say, yeah, and now I doubt him a little bit this year, but he's still that stud guy that went among the top 10. We had the coaching change that could be the change he needed. And Breece Hall, I was skeptical last year coming off the ACL tear. And then once he got healthier later in the season, he reminded you he's that guy that can produce even if the offense isn't great, even if there's the injury question. You at some point just bet on talent. Betting on talent over at wide receiver if we're looking at full PPR or half PPR, our projections say there's a tier break from number two, Tyreek Hill, to Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and the guys after them. Jared, is that how you're treating it in your drafts in 2024?
I am, yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson aren't, you know, picked right behind Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb. I think they should be in a lot of cases, but I do see a bit of a tier break there, and it's less about Jefferson and Chase and just more about Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb's combination of safety and upside, right? These guys finished 1-2 in fantasy scoring last year. They're both back in the same offense with the same quarterbacks with very similar target competition. So the safety is there. Again, we saw the upside last season. They're just, you know, two of the safer picks in all of fantasy football.
Yeah, that's the way I've been drafting it as well. And yeah, if you're drafting a whole bunch of teams, you mix things up so that not every team looks the same. But if you're drafting a couple, that's when these decisions really matter and where you break those tiers and make those decisions. Alex, our numbers say the next largest tier break in PPR at wide receiver comes after AJ Brown. And that's exactly how I've been treating it in my draft so far. What about you?
Oh, definitely. So after AJ Brown, we start looking at players like Drake London or Cooper Kupp or Jalen Waddle, which are just in a different tier. We're looking at maybe the wide receiver twos on their team, depending. Yeah, I mean, they are not Drake London in this case, but guys that just really either are wide receiver twos or haven't quite proven it at this level, even if we are projecting a big step forward with the new offense. So just the confidence in those players, that seems like a natural tier break for these guys.
Yeah, guys with more questions than what we see in the guys above them ending at that AJ Brown level. Jared, we've focused so far on gaps in the projections, but tiers can be about more than just what's obvious in the numbers, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of different ways to tier players. A couple other methods I like to use. The first is tiering by player archetype. So just as an example, let's say you're in the middle rounds of your draft, you're looking to, you know, add a couple of running backs as depth. You could kind of splice guys by, you know, maybe like pass catching running backs that could be decent bye week fill-ins, but maybe don't have big ceilings. And then you can kind of also make another tier of more handcuff types where, you know, without an injury to a guy ahead of them, they're not going to be very useful. But if that injury happens, they're going to be, you know, potential league winners, at least solid weekly fantasy starter. So by kind of bucketing those two groups, you can say, you know, I want to take one of these, you know, pass catching type backs, and I want to make sure I get one of these handcuffs. You can kind of see how that pool is dwindling as you get down, you know, deeper in your draft, and hopefully, you know, grab one of the last guys in both of those tiers. So that's one thing you can consider. I think the biggest one for me, tiering players by their floor and ceiling projections, which of course you can always see those on your draft forum. You can sort by those on your draft forum. If you want to see the guys with the highest floor projections, you can do that with one click. Guys with the highest ceiling projections, do that with another click. So, you know, maybe in the early rounds of your drafts, you do want to tier guys by their floor projections, get safer guys. Definitely as you get into later rounds, though, I think tiering players by their ceiling projections is the way to go. You want to be prioritizing upside at that point of your draft.
Yeah, fantasy football tiers are key to your value-based drafting, whatever format you're playing. And that's why you're going to see positional tiers in your draft war room. If you're like annoyed right now that we're not getting deeper into those tiers and telling you more specifically where they break, the reason is because it's going to differ depending on your league setup. And that is why that is automated in your draft war room. That's why our system calculates that for you, because your tiers are going to look different than mine depending on the variations in the way we play. You will see calculated 3D values for every single player in your draft war room. That one dynamic number gives you a simple view of each player's value as you draft. That highlights value breaks not only within a position, but also across positions. And it's dynamic because that value changes, updates as you draft, depending on a lot of factors, who you have on your team, who your league mates have drafted, you know, what's left on the board, ADP, all the things that go into it. We have 17 in-draft indicators that the Draft War Room is constantly keeping in mind and calculating to control those values within your Draft War Room. You can find our rankings tiers customized to your exact scoring system when you sync a Draft War Room for your draft, and you'll get those dynamic values constantly recalculated for you as you draft, as I said. So you get to relax and focus on drafting the best team. Become a DS Insider to take advantage of the Draft War Room and the rest of the game-changing help for your draft, available at DraftSharks.com.